This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Jesus saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove upon him. Matthew's description echoes Isaiah's in the first reading. This is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, with whom I am pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit. And what spirit is this? It is the same spirit we encounter in Genesis. A wind from God swept over the face of the waters. The earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. Then God spoke, and creation arose. That word from God, the Word, capital T, capital W, of course, was love, because love is the dynamic principle par excellence of all creation. That same word came upon Jesus at his baptism, had also come upon Mary at the Annunciation, giving her the fullness of God's wisdom and impregnating her with ultimate love. Jesus experienced the fullness of the Father's love from his mother and from the Spirit at his baptism, helping him to know that he was the beloved, the chosen one, the anointed, the Messiah, the Christ. Magnificent as these images are, we must not allow their magnificence to elevate them beyond our own lives and our own experience. We all know the power of words of love spoken to us, especially when we're children, or as adults when we're discouraged or in despair. We know the power of these words to empower us to accomplish more than we could imagine. The Father's words to Jesus and the Lord's words to his servant, whom he upheld, were given for the same purpose: to ensure the victory of justice in an unjust world. Isaiah tells us to be a light to the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring prisoners from confinement and from the dungeon those who live in darkness. You may know the men's chorus at the end of Act One of Beethoven's opera Fidelio. A horde of prisoners emerge from the dark fortress in which they are unjustly imprisoned, and they find themselves blinded by the bright love of light of day. They sing softly at first, then burst into a lofty melody. O welche Lust in freier Luft! Oh, what joy in the open air, freely to breathe again. The divine love transforms human love, making it incandescent and radiant like highly enriched uranium, such that it works miracles in the world, especially where there is darkness, privation, or injustice. Throughout his public ministry, we see Jesus do just this. And in his passion and death, when we see him face ultimate evil, cosmic sin, and ignominious death, the Father's incandescent love breaks through the sin, evil, and death to raise his Son to new life, and so to guarantee new life for each one of us. We encounter this same spirit again at the beginning of the book of Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all gathered together. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind that filled the entire house. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. What other languages? Glossolalia, perhaps, but certainly the languages of love, affirmation, compassion, and forgiveness. At our baptisms, you and I receive this same Holy Spirit. In this Mass, the Spirit continues to anoint you and me with the power of love, to work the great miracles Isaiah described in the first reading that Jesus worked in his public ministry. What might that look like? Some years ago, a woman and I knelt beside the bed of her dying husband. His breathing was very heavy, probably exhausting for him, certainly exhausting for us to hear. She became more worried than ever and asked me, the chaplain, to pray with her. We both did, silently and with great fervor. In a few minutes, her husband's breath suddenly calmed, and he lay there at rest, seemingly at peace. Another time, the adult parents of an elderly dying man asked me, the chaplain, to pray for them and pray for him. They had ceased practicing their Catholic faith, but summoned the chaplain for their father's sake. He lay on a low bed, looking sepulchral, uncommunicative, perhaps unconscious. I sat on a chair at his side and started to pray out loud. The moment I started speaking, the man started up as if electrified, grasped my wrist, and seemed fully attentive to the words of the prayer. When I completed the prayer, he relaxed into his bed, seemingly at peace. His adult children stood there with eyes wide open, their mouths agape, staggered at what they had just seen. Yet another example. Suppose you're conversing with someone who has hurt you, rather like the late John Paul II in the prison cell of the man who had tried to assassinate him. If you both invoke the power of the Holy Spirit, confess wrongdoing, and ask forgiveness of the other, what do you think will happen? When the sinner repents and the one sinned against forgives, the Spirit provides the balm of healing and freedom like new sunlight. The sinner might also want to seek out the sacrament of reconciliation, of course, especially if such a conversation is impossible. But we must not underestimate the power of our offering each other forgiveness and reconciliation. In fact, I wonder if a sacrament of reconciliation can fully forgive in cases where a face-to-face conversation is possible. This same Spirit has the power to reconcile Catholics along the spectrum to one another. If we acknowledge a common desire to be faithful to Jesus as the ultimate value, though the outward expression of our Catholic faith might look quite different. So we're present today at this very great feast, the baptism of Jesus, that, though very great, is nonetheless only one more instance of the Father's sharing ultimate, creative, healing, and reconciling love with the world and with us. The Spirit certainly comes upon us in this Eucharist today. Let's be open to receiving a new anointing today, as in a new Pentecost, and leave this place empowered for another day's struggle for the victory of justice.